Hello and welcome to Through the Bible with Les Feldick, an inspirational and informative half hour of insight into the heart of Scripture. In addition to teaching the Bible, Les is a full-time rancher, having a down-to-earth practical teaching style that makes the Bible come to life. All programs are available on audio tape, videotape, and in printed form. At the end of the program, there will be an address where you can contact the ministry. And now, here's Les Feldick with today's lesson.
In Psalms chapter 2, we have the word itself. And of course, we always use Psalm chapter 2 in prophecy because it's basically the outline of all the things that would happen concerning Israel in simplified form, of course. But here in Psalms chapter 2, you remember, the early verses speak of Jew and Gentile rejecting the Anointed One, which speaks of crucifying Him. And then verse 4, He that sitteth in the heavens, that is the Godhead, shall laugh, in other words, that man should be so foolish. The Lord shall have them, mankind, the nations, in derision, total confusion, and more you can see it coming. And then, after they have rejected Him and rejected Him and rejected Him, and they have finally reached a point of complete confusion, but still think they've got all the answers, then He shall speak unto them in His wrath. See? Not in grace, not in love, but in wrath, and then He will vex them in His sore displeasure. All right, on your way back to the New Testament, just stop in Matthew 24, a portion that's well known. Jesus, in His earthly ministry, of course, is speaking to the 12 there on the Mount of Olives. And here in Matthew 24, He says it so graphically. Matthew 24, verse 21. Matthew 24, verse 21. Speaking of that final 7 years of human history. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the world began. Now, I remember years ago when I looked at that, I thought, well, why did He say that when the flood was so catastrophic and so complete in destroying the human race? Well, because the flood wasn't His wrath. As I said in the last half hour, it was actually an act of mercy. They were instantaneously wiped off the face of the earth and they were gone. But you see, when His wrath is going to be poured out, it's going to be 3.5 years of things beyond human comprehension. That's what's going to be His wrath, and that's what's coming. The world is setting itself up for it. So He says that the great tribulation was such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. All right, now let's just go back to Revelation for just a couple references and see how Revelation speaks of this same period of time. Revelation 6. Revelation 6, and this is only the beginning. Revelation 6, verse 15. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men. You know, I read an article the other day that some of our wealthiest people in America are beginning, I guess, to see the handwriting on the wall, and like rats leaving a sinking ship, you know what they're doing? They're buying up property down in the Caribbean islands. Some of them are buying a whole island, building what they hope will be safe escape for that which is to come. Hey, they can't hide. They are not going to be able to hide. Look what it says. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens of the rocks of the mountains. And they'll say to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of Him who sitteth on the throne, and from the, what's the next word? The wrath. Now I know Christendom has just been lulled to sleep with everything but any mention of the wrath of God. You don't hear it. People are afraid to talk about it. They don't want to hear it. But the book says it, that the wrath of God is coming. All right, let's look at another one. verse 20 of chapter 9. And I didn't intend it to be this way, but this is going to set us up for the next verse in Romans 1 that we're coming to. It's amazing, huh? I just told somebody, you know, I don't plan any of this. It just sort of unfolds by itself. But look what it says in Revelation 9, verse 20. After all the death and destruction that has already taken place up to this point in time, the rest of the men who were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they or changed their mind about their murders, their sorceries, which is really drugs, nor their fornication, their gross immorality, nor of their thefts. In spite of all that has already been poured out, they're still not going to change their attitude. All right, let's go on to another one here in Revelation. Chapter 19? No, don't go quite that far. 14. 14. Revelation 14. And here we're at the end of the tribulation. We've had all these horrible, horrible events take place. Things that man has never yet experienced. And now we come to those that are surviving, that are in the armies of the world, all gathered around Jerusalem for that last great battle of Armageddon. And I'm not going to take time. I'd like to read all the way from verse 14, but I won't take the time. But come down to verse 16. He that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. In other words, men, humanity. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar who had power over fire and cried with a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for the grapes are fully ripe. Now, this is symbolic language, of course, of God gathering the residue of humanity that is still living, gathering them there in the Middle East under military auspices, of course, and the gathering of the grapes into the wine vat is the gathering of these military people into that valley of Esdraelon, down the Jordan Valley, and all the low-lying areas of Israel especially, and they're going to be packed in, as I've said earlier, like sardines in a can, contrary to good military operation, but they're going to be forced by a sovereign God to just pack their men into these valleys. That's the wine vat. That's like putting grapes in the vat. And now the very presence of God is going to come and crush them as grapes in the vat. Verse 19, and the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine. In other words, they're going to bring all their armies to the Middle East and cast it into the great winepress of the what? The wrath of God. The wrath of God. Now you see, God's wrath isn't being poured out tonight. We have no idea of what the wrath of God is going to do. Even though we can experience floods, earthquakes, volcanoes, that's nothing. That's nothing compared to what it'll be when the wrath of God will finally be released on Christ and God rejecting mankind. All right, now if you'll come back with me here in the studio to Romans chapter 1. We left off in verse 22, where ungodly men, men without faith, professing themselves to be wise, became fools. And I showed you what a fool was according to Scripture. He's the man or the woman who says no to what God says for us. And that is so typical. You know, I always, whenever I look at verse 22 of Romans 1, I'm always reminded, and I've shared it with my classes for over 20 years, I can't help but always think of the Warren Supreme Court. You remember when the ex-governor of California became the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. The biggest catastrophe that ever hit the United States of America. Because, see, out of that worn Supreme Court came so many decisions that just wrecked our Christian fabric. The most notorious one, of course, is giving the criminal more rights than the victim. I don't remember the name of the law, but that came out of the Warren Supreme Court. I think Roe versus Wade, opening the door to abortion, I think it was still part of the Warren Supreme Court. Taking prayer and God out of the schools was all precipitated by the Warren Court. And I always have to think of those so-called brilliant, intellectual, robed men, thinking themselves to be wise, probably with more power than any other group of men in the world. And yet they'll come out with decisions there that are as idiotic as a first grader. Why? This verse says it all. They have rejected what God has said. And consequently, they act and they respond as a fool. All right, now verse 23. Becoming fools, saying no to God, they now change the glory of the uncorruptible God, the God who cannot be touched with anything that is less than perfect, and they have changed him into that which is an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Now, I don't know what the scripture is implying here, but do you see the chronology here is reversed from what it was in creation? In creation, it was first the creeping things, then the four-footed beasts, and then the birds, if I remember correctly, and then man was the last. He was the last one created on Friday, you remember, on the sixth day. But here, in the order of their making images, they come the other way, and they start with making images of a man. And then that doesn't satisfy their craving for something. They begin to make idols then made of birds, and then the four-footed beasts, and then even the reptiles, the lowest of creatures. Now, if you doubt that, all you have to do is think back to when Israel was in Egypt under the pharaohs. Everything in Egypt had become a god. The frogs were gods. The flies were gods. The River Nile was a god. And all the way through, in fact, all the plagues that God pushed on Egypt was to show Egypt that their gods were nothing. In fact, they became a plague. But they were their gods. Now, they're changing the glory of the uncorruptible God into these kind of items to be worshipped. I mean, we can't comprehend it. And yet, here we are in 1995 now today, an intellectual, highly technologized man with all of his technology coming back to the same place. We're coming back to it. It's just unreal. You say, well, what are you talking about? Hey, you know what the whole New Age movement is all about? It's coming under the Oriental idol worship. That's all it is. In subtle terms, of course. But the whole New Age movement is to bring the world right back under the same idolatry that began where? Tower of Babel. This is when these series of verses really began. Man first rejected God and his authority when Nimrod, you remember, who was not just the hunter of animals. He was the hunter of men. And he was the first world's totalitarian despot. And he brought them to the Tower of Babel, not with just the idea of building a building of clay and pitch, but he was setting up a religion. That's what it meant by reaching the heaven. They knew they couldn't build a tower or a Jack's Beanstalk or anything else into heaven, but it was going to be a religious system that would usurp the very throne room of heaven. And that is where the beginning of all pagan idolatry lies, the Tower of Babel. And that's where they began to worship then. See, no one remember, before the flood, There is never an instance of idolatry. There was no religion of sorts before the flood. There was no temple worship of any kind before the flood. There was no organized worship. But what happened? Man went completely down the tube. He became corrupt. He became violent because there was nothing to control his thinking. So after the flood now then, we have eight people that have a knowledge of God. Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wife. They had a knowledge of God. I think God was in the ark. And yet within 200 years, which was only a generation or two? Yet within 200 years, that expanding population coming from those eight people are now gathered around the Tower of Babel and ready to embrace pagan worship. Isn't it amazing? What are they doing? They're refusing to listen to what God said. And so here's where I think these series of verses now have their beginning. All right, now then, I haven't got much time left again. It's always running away from me. You come down to verse 24. And the word is wherefore. Most of you now know what wherefores do. They point you right back to where you just come from. So as a result of everything we've said now about these last three or four verses concerning the fact that they had a knowledge of God, all they had to do was look up into the heavens and they could see the proof of it. They had not only the knowledge of the heavens, but they had begun with Noah and his sons who had a full knowledge of God. And yet within just a couple generations, they are now ready to follow a humanist who is now setting up pagan worship. And they fall for it, hook, line, and sinker. Why? Because the old human nature is bent to rebel. And as we go through these coming verses, I don't think we'll get very far now in this 30 minutes, but in the next two half-hour programs at least, maybe more, I always like to impress upon anybody I teach, don't look down your nose at these people. Because but for the grace of God, you and I would be no different. Always remember that. But for the grace of God, you and I would be right in the middle of what's going to be described in these next verses. And that's sobering. And if I have people listening to me who may be in some of these situations, I'm not looking down my nose at them. I know that but for the grace of God, I could be where they are. But by the grace of God, they can also be where I am. And that's the beauty of it. All right. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness. Now, that doesn't sound right, does it? That sounds like a play on words. You think he gave them up to something better? No, he didn't. He gave them up to a lower lifestyle than what they began with. And it's the same way. I'm going to go back to Pharaoh again. Every time Pharaoh rejected, a plague came that was worse than the one before. So that when it was all finished, his great and mighty Egypt was a shambles. And it was because of his own arrogance. And the human race is doing it over and over and over. All right, so we're going to start here with the Tower of Babel. And we're going to see the decline of the human race from the Tower of Babel until finally God had to say, well, I'm going to call out one man and I'm going to do something different. That would be the call of Abram. We're going to see the nation of Israel as well start on that high plane with a knowledge of God. But even that nation, under the very auspices of the Creator God, where did they go? Down, 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 until finally God would have to say, there's no remedy. There was no remedy because they had gone so far. I think you see the same thing happen periodically in various empires, various nations, where they may begin with a high level of spirituality and knowledge of God, but they degenerate. They degenerate. I think after the Reformation, Europe was aflame with the Word of God. Those great men of the Reformation who literally fill our history books, at least before political correctness took them out, but great men of God covered all of Europe. But what happened? Europe went the same track, down, 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 until finally I told somebody the other day, they didn't seem to believe me. I said, look, when you go back and you analyze society in Europe prior to World War II, they were as rotten then already as we are today. A lot of people don't realize that. Europe had already become almost destitute of Christianity by the time World War II rolled around. And then I always like to go to the British Empire. Now, a lot of people don't like history as well as I do, but I try to get their interest cultivated. But you see, the British Empire, so great that the sun never set on it. You know what that meant? From Great Britain, you cross the Atlantic, and they had Canada in their domain. From Canada, before the sun set, Australia was in it. By the time you came away from Australia, you had Singapore and Burma. All of that was part and parcel of the British Empire. They had the whole Middle East under their control. And by that time, of course, you're back home in England. So the sun never set on the British Empire. Great Britain was the author and the beginner of foreign missions. The very first foreign missionary that went to the Orient was William Carey, coming out of England. England was the very hotbed of biblical scholar. But what happened? Down, down, down. And I usually like to give the illustration. I'll probably get some flack on this. Just to show you how far they were slipping and how fast they were slipping, they gave birth to the Beatles. Isn't that right? The Beatles, which I think was the trigger to, again, the destruction of our social fabric. Oh, they created beautiful music. I won't ever take that away from them. But I always have to be reminded, and I think I shared it in one of the class the other night. I remember reading when the Beatles first came to America, and this reporter was interviewing John Lennon. And they asked him, how do you write such beautiful music? And there was. The Beatles came out with some beautiful music. I'll never take that away from them. Well, what do you suppose his response was? He says, I'm inspired. Well, the guy says, no doubt. But he says, what do you mean? He says, I'm inspired by Satan. And that was in a news magazine. I read that with my own eyes. I mean, I'm not pulling that out of the woodwork. In fact, before, I think he was the one that was assassinated, wasn't he? Wasn't John Lennon that they shot? Just shortly before that, he was also being interviewed, and he repeated it. He repeated it, that they were inspired by Satan. Well, that's exactly what has happened, see? So Great Britain went from that eminence all the way down to where today, what's Great Britain in the family of nations? A nobody. Their empire is gone. They've been struggling economically and every other which way. Spiritually, they're practically dead. But this has been the track of human race ever since the Tower of Babel. All right. Wherefore, verse 24, God gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of the desires of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And whenever I teach this verse, I always maintain this is normal sexual immorality between the sexes. Got me? This is normal sexual immorality, men and women, between the sexes, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now, what was the first step? Idolatry. And just as soon as mankind replaces the true God with a man-made God, their moral fabric begins to rot. All you have to do is go back into the Orient over the times of the years gone by. Steeped in idolatry, Buddhism, Hinduism, and all the rest. But what is their moral status? Well, they have none. They have none. I can remember reading about the opium dens and so forth years ago. We're just now catching up, really. But this has been the downward track now for ever so long, beginning especially at the Tower of Babel. And like I said, empires will go that way, nations will go that way, so will individuals. So will individuals, and never lose sight of it. And but for the grace of God, you and I could have just as well taken that same track. You and I could have just as well succumbed to idols, ending up in immorality.
Thank you for joining us again for Through the Bible with Les Feldick. If you'd like to order audio tapes, videos, or any of our printed material, you may do so by writing Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. That's Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. Or you can call us toll-free if you'd like at 1-800-369-7856. That's 1-800-369-7856. Remember, this is a faith ministry, and your participation with us is greatly appreciated. Again, our address is Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. And our phone is 1-800-369-7856. Thanks again for listening, and please join us next time for Through the Bible with Les Feldick.